God, we've been fighting a tough summer financially, and we praise God for the sacrificial giving of His people that's made it almost through. If we can just get our rest of our crowd on back, I really am not telling the truth there. So much of our crowd that does leave in the summer, they do send back, and thank God they do to help support the ministry here. Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. We kind of got in it and can't get out of chapter 11. I'm going to finish it this morning if you'll listen fast, okay? That's what we need you to do. Revelation chapter 11. We always have to lay a little background. That's where the time comes. But you folks that have been faithful sticking with me through it, what I'm going to do next year, when it comes time to teach it in the college, I'm just going to have each one of you go teach a chapter. And that'll make my job easier, amen? All right, we're joking, but some of you could do that. There's no doubt about it. Revelation chapter 11 takes us halfway through the book because there's only 22 chapters. It's also pretty well started us into what we call the last half of the tribulation period. To define the tribulation period, we are talking about a time after God's people, after the church, the saved. Not everybody's got their name on a church roll now, but the genuinely saved are going to be called out when the trumpet sounds. We call that the rapture. And it's not the second coming in judgment. It's a mysterious coming when I don't believe that even the lost are going to see folks go. They may. I don't think they're even going to hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, when Paul was struck down on the Damascus Road, God dealt with him. The rest of them didn't hear the voice Paul heard or see the light that Paul saw. And I think when the rapture takes place, it's going to be a private matter between the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. It's going to be a catching up. Speaking of that, there's a picture on the wall back there. If you get a chance to look at it, I'm going to put it in my office for long. But it's a beautiful drawing of the rapture taking place. Look at it back there on the wall, and people coming out of the graves and out of the cars, and a few standing there watching. That may not be accurate. I tell you one thing, we'll be missed when we're gone. When the saved are called out, they're going to be missed. There's going to be broken homes in the real sense of the word. Kids missing or parents missing, friends. In fact, let me just say this. This world's pretty bad, but there is a resistance to evil in this world. That resistance is the Holy Spirit as he dwells in His people. When the rapture takes place, that restrainer, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. You talk about a bad place to be is on planet Earth when there's no restraint against evil left. And it's going to get really fast. So in this tribulation period is a seven-year period that the book of Daniel identifies, and then all the way through the book of Revelation, you have reference to two halves of the tribulation period. Three and a half makes seven, or 1260 days, or 42 months, because it's dealing with months of 30 days each, lunar calendar instead of the lunar calendar of the Jews, instead of the Gregorian calendar that we're going by today, basically. And so you have this period of time identified several times in the book of Revelation. Now, in chapter 11, we've already moved now to the middle part of the tribulation and moving into the last part of it, the last 3.5 years. Now, the book of Revelation does not chronologically always follow. Oftentimes, it'll jump to near the end, but then come back with a parenthetical statements or even chapters. You have really four trips through the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 deals with the church age. We're living right at the end of chapter 3, waiting for the trumpet to sound, call His people out. I believe it sounds in chapter 4 and verse 1 when John hears a trumpet talking to him and he's called up to the throne, to heaven. John's a type of the church. I believe that's where we go, because from chapter 4 on, through chapter 19, you have no reference whatsoever made to the church. But what you have is events in the seven-year tribulation period that's taking place. we take trips through the tribulation period at least four times. It starts off with a trip under the opening of the seals. Then you have a trip through under the opening of the trumpets. You'll have a trip through under the emphasis being put on persons such as the Antichrist and the false prophet and so forth. Then you'll finally have the last trip through will be under the vials or bowls of wrath as God's wrath is poured out on planet Earth during the tribulation period. The last chapters, two chapters, chapter 21 and 22, you're dealing past the tribulation period. You're dealing past the millennial reign, and you're moving on into eternity when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. So to get that setting, then we come back and we go verse by verse and chapter by chapter and pick out these events, but we need to keep that big picture in mind. There's a lot of teaching today that the church is going through the tribulation, but that's not true. You're going through enough tribulation, all right, down here, but not the great tribulation. Not the wrath of God being poured out on earth like it's going to happen after God's people are called out. And so when we get to chapter 11, we found out some things. We found out there's a tribulation temple going to be built. It's measured in the verse 1. We talked to you a little bit about that. We find two witnesses are going to show up. I think they're going to witness pretty much for the first half of the trip. It tells us in verse 3 of chapter 11, the time, 1,203 score days, or 1,260 days. This is the time they're going to be witnessing. The Antichrist is not going to be able to kill them until their job is done, but they're going to torment folks with their preaching. I've said it several times that right over the satellite TV, that preaching will aggravate folks. You know, this fellow about to burn the Koran up there in Gainesville, he sure aggravated a bunch of folks, didn't he? You know, it's amazing how that went all over the world, just that little bit of a thing. And you say, well, he was a nut for doing it. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. The truth of the matter is they burn Bibles all over the world and don't get any attention. And so I'm a little bit tired of walking on eggshells to not offend Islam. I know I'm on the radio. Help yourself out there. But they attacked us. We didn't attack them. And their Koran does not let Jesus be the Son of God. They say in the Koran he was not crucified. And they say he was not the Son of God. So don't tell me it's a holy book. Help yourself. Anyway, let's get back to the text here. I easy get off on that stuff. But here in chapter 11, we find a temple's going to be built. We find two witnesses that are going to preach. And finally, they are going to be killed. And the people are going to hate them so much, they let their bodies, and it uses the word bodies, I think, because I think they're killed by the same method that tribulation saints are killed by, and that's their heads being chopped off. Now, you don't probably know anybody that majors in head chopping, do you? Well, that's interesting. The heads are going to be chopped off in the tribulation period of those that don't take the mark of the beast. And we'll get to the mark of the beast over here in chapter 13. But anyway, their bodies are going to lie in the streets of Jerusalem, but something's going to happen. They're not going to bury them. Probably the reason they're not going to bury them is because some of their preaching may have told what they're going to do. They may have, and this is supposition, but they may have announced, when you kill us, we're going to rise again. Didn't Jesus announce that? He sure did. And so these witnesses are going to die. They're going to watch them on TV. They may have a camera set right out there, and maybe you see the body here and the head over here. And every day, well, it didn't happen today. They said they were going to come back to life, but they didn't today, and they didn't today. But look out when it happens. It will happen, and they'll be caught up. What a witness that'll be. The earth's going to be rejoicing over their death, verse 10 tells us. And 3 days and a half later, it says, the spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And I'll guarantee you that'll happen. Then they get the call in verse 12 to come up hither. And God emphasizes it with an earthquake in verse 13. And then it kind of concludes with saying the second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, three woes were announced back in chapter 8. And now we're getting to the third one. As the third one starts in verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded. Now, we've been following the angels. Six of them have sounded. Now, the seventh. What happened between the sixth and the seventh angel sounding was some chapters that we put in parentheses, parenthetical, that begin to tell events, filling in the meat on the skeleton, so to speak. And so now the seventh angel sounds, and this is a great announcement. Don't miss it. Verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms, and notice it's plural with an S on it, the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, this is what the battle's about on planet Earth. Who's going to get the kingdom? When Adam was created in the garden, before Satan won the victory there, Adam was king. Did you know that? He had dominion. But he lost that dominion when Satan was able to come in. And Adam was not tricked. His wife was tricked. Adam made a choice, and it was a bad choice. But Satan became... he got the kingdom back. Many scholars, and maybe so, believe Satan might have already had jurisdiction on the earth before Adam, but he'd lost it. But now he gets it back. You say, that's not Bible. Yes, it is. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And you see his handiwork everywhere. For the folks that think the world's getting better every day, they must not read a newspaper. They must live in a cave somewhere and never see any other human beings. I don't know how you can say the world's getting better today when it's getting worse all the time. A few inventions didn't make us better. We found out how to use those inventions for evil. Amen. So what's a nice invention? I get on that jet airplane and I'd be so-and-so in 2 hours. Yeah, but why was it invented? It's a weapon. And you just take anything you want to and you'll find that out. The fellow comes to your house, you call him because you got bugs, you call the exterminator. He comes in and sprays for your bugs, and you say, it's a wonderful thing. He's got a little bit of chemical there he puts out, and it takes care of the bugs. Good. Why was the chemical invented? To kill people. And you get it in a strong enough dose, and it will. The Holocaust, Hitler, some of the very materials that he gassed the Jews with, is in a much lighter form used today to do not only exterminating work in a house, but spray on crops and other things. Sure, man has a way of, seems like, even that is good is often used for bad. It works that way. And what we have as God's people, we're in a world, though, where Satan is still the god of this world, and you see it. You see it everywhere you look. So it's important then when we get to this announcement in verse 15 that he loses the kingdom. Remember when Jesus was baptized, he was caught out in the wilderness and he was out there 40 days. And remember how Satan came and tempted him, tried to catch him. See, Jesus was the second Adam. First Adam in the garden failed the test. Second Adam was the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't fail the test, but he had Satan come to him just like Adam did in the garden. And Satan come to him, and Jesus was hungry 40 days. He said, well, turn these stones into bread if you be the Son of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every time Satan asked him to do something, he took him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it is written that his angels will bear you up. Remember? And Jesus quoted him the word of God again, and Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Back to the word kingdoms here now, all the kingdoms of the world. And said, all this can be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me. And again, Jesus told him to get thee behind me, quoted the word of God to him. And you know what? Satan was asking Jesus to take the kingdoms ahead of time before he went to the cross. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus gets them now. He has more than, I don't like to use the word earned, but he's the victor now. And he's the one that's going to get the kingdoms. And we see it here. And it tells us here that the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His. Very important word there, His Christ. Not just any Christ, but His Christ. You need to understand something, folks. The word Christ means the anointed one. Satan is an anointed one. He was anointed cherub that covereth. He was over apparently some jurisdiction in heaven. Some think he was the heavenly choir leader. I don't know about that. The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said when Satan fell out of heaven, he landed in the choir. He must have had some choir trouble, I assume. But anyway, with all that, His Christ. Satan is going to try to put His Christ on the throne. His Christ is the one we commonly call the Antichrist or the counterfeit Christ. And the word Antichrist can mean both against and just like, or very similar. So a counterfeit piece of money that's counterfeit tries to look like the real thing. And this is what's going to deceive a lot of lost people on the earth after the Holy Spirit's gone. Is when Satan's Christ shows up, they're going to mistake him. We got into that in chapter 6. Remember when the horseman showed up? The first horse was white. All good guys ride white horses and wear white hats, right? But if you're trying to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, you dress that way. So the first Antichrist in the Bible shows up on a white horse, Revelation chapter 6, and he's a fake. He's a counterfeit. Ultimately, we get to chapter 13 and find him showing himself now as the beast and the whole world worshiping after him. But here he loses the kingdoms. The announcement is made, and it's the Lord's Christ that takes over here. And he's the one that gets the kingdoms. He's the one that heaven is praising. Look at it in verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Now remember, we've run into them before in chapter 4. When John was raptured up, he saw the 24 elders sitting before the throne. And here they fall down and worship God when this announcement's made. And verse 17 tells us why. It says, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and which art to come. Why are they giving him thanks? Look at it. It says, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, can you understand what these elders are talking about? And most folks believe the elders could represent both the church and the Judaism of the Jews. 12 apostles representing the church, 12 of the Jewish elders are 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but here they are in heaven, and they get excited when they see the final announcement that the Lord has taken over the kingdoms of this world. You got to remember, they came out of these kingdoms. They came out of suffering and persecution and warfare down here on this earth. Now, they get excited because the Lord takes unto himself his power. Now, God is never without the power. But their feelings is much like mine and like yours. God is so long-suffering till we all wonder when. When, Lord, are you going to deal with this? How much longer are you going to let this awful thing go on? How much longer are they going to keep on killing the babies and taking and doing all the evil they're doing? Lord, you got the power. Why don't you do something? That's the cry of the human heart. We've all been there. Our prayer list, we go over it, and, well, God could, why don't he? Well, sometimes he does, but in his own wisdom, sometimes he don't. Now, they're excited because they're saying God has finally used up his patience, his long-suffering. Now he's really showing his strength, and he's defeating the devil and all of his scheme, and he's taking these kingdoms that Satan has ruled on the earth. And by the way, he has ruled them. You ever think about it? It don't matter how educated we are. The same sins our forefathers had, we still commit. The same evil. Same wars go on. Study the history of war. Just on and on. What is war? Well, war is not between the lions and the tigers or the elephants. It's between humans. Human beings build weapons and kill each other. The worst fear you got on this earth is not that a panther's going to break in your window and kill you. It's some burglar coming in at night. It's another human. Humans are the ones that kill humans. That's the way it's always been. Man's depraved. He's fallen. He's sinful. He's evil. Oh, he's got a good side to him too, but it's an amazing thing. In the flesh, the best folks do wrong and the worst folks do right sometimes. We all are Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Hyde personality in a sense. That's sad commentary on us, but it's true. And the truth is that God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, the scripture says, but that all should come to repentance, but he's run out of patience now in the tribulation period. He's getting ready to pronounce, he's already pronounced that he's fixing to get ready to deliver his wrath upon sin, and his judgment is going to fall. And here the host of heaven around the throne begin to praise him because he's taken his power to him, and he's going to reign. And look at the reaction in verse 18. And the nations were angry. Oh, when you snatched your kingdoms away, they got angry. When you usurped your rule, Lord, they were already angry at you. They didn't like it that you had a book down here. They didn't like it that you had a church down here. They didn't like it when you said some of the things they enjoyed the most were wrong. So they're angry. And they are angry, brother. I've never seen Christianity under a bigger attack than it is today. All you got to do is just in any kind of way let the powers that be know you stand for God and his rights, and they're against you. And that's what we're witnessing every day in the news. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath, God's wrath, is come. And the time of the dead, they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, there's several things in this list that he gave here. He's going to judge the dead. He's going to judge those that's brought before him. He's going to reward the servants of his. And all of this is a conclusive statement, a big statement. You can go back and study and identify basically pretty much when these things happen. There'll be rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for those that are raptured up. But also there's going to be some in the tribulation period that never heard the gospel, never rejected, that did not buy the delusion of the Antichrist. And many of them lost their lives, had their heads chopped off because they wouldn't take the number of the beast. So there will be those saved in the tribulation period. But I want to say to you, I always put this on it because I don't want anybody to get a false idea. You reject Jesus Christ after you've heard the gospel today, you're not going to get saved in the tribulation period. The Bible says that he'll send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. You see, in the fairness of God, today a man gets saved by placing his faith in Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did on the cross. By faith, you trust him. Now, in the tribulation period, and I've had fellows say this to me, they say, well, you know, you say the rapture is going to take place, and you Christians are going to be gone. When I see that happen, then I get saved. And I've said, no, you won't, because the Bible says you won't. The Bible says you'll believe the lie that'll be told to explain why we Christians got caught away. And you'll go into the tribulation period and you'll split hell wide open, is what it amounts to, because you are rejecting Christ by faith. Will some be saved in the tribulation period? Yes, they will. But it won't be those that have rejected Christ in the church age, in the age of grace and faith that we live in now. That'd be giving you a double chance. If you happen to be listening to me this morning, radio or in the building, if you happen to be listening to me and you say, well, I'm going to wait till the Christians are gone, then I know it's real. No, you're fixing to trick yourself. We trust Christ today by faith. If you wait until the rapture takes place and you know it's taking place, then you're going to trust him. You'd be trusting him by sight. You're not going to get two chances. You got the same chance I got and other believers have got today. And that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved, the scripture says. Now, in this chapter 11, the nations are angry. God has taken over. You know, we got liberal politicians today. They speak of Christianity. Well, you want a theophany. You want the church to rule. No, no, we would love to see righteousness rule. We're not trying to be, we're not trying to have a theophany, but I got news for you. You're dead right to fear one, because one's coming. When Jesus rules on this earth, it'll be a theophany. It will be a dictatorship. He will be the dictator. Nothing wrong with a dictator that's benevolent, and that's what Jesus will be. Nothing wrong with one that'll rule in righteousness, and that's what Jesus will do. But dictatorship today is not good. Total power always corrupts, and we see that everywhere we look. And truth is, though, there's one coming. The Lord is going to take over. The kingdoms are going to be His, and He's going to rule and reign. And you get over to chapter 20, and you find out He's going to set up a government on this earth that's going to rule in righteousness for 1,000 years. You read the book of Isaiah and some other places, and you find out He's going to rule from Jerusalem. And that nations are going to be angry. Yeah. The lost nations that's still on the earth that survived the tribulation period are going to have to obey. And some of them will be angry, but not a thing they can do about it. You talk about the shoe being on the other foot. I'm excited about that. Because I read over in Revelation 19 that I'm coming back with the Lord in an army from heaven. I'm going to help Him rule and reign on earth. Revelation chapter 20. And so I've told a couple of government fellows this. I said, you just wait till I get in charge. I'll take care of you. Now, I joke around about it a little bit. I believe it was Dr. Jack Howell said one time that he was trying to borrow some money from the bank. Of course, it was he did this as a joke. He said the bank president told him no. And he said, I told him, I said, well, you wait till I come back here and rule. I said, I'll take this bank over and I won't loan you a dime. Now, a little joke about some of that, and they were joking. But the truth is, Christians are going to be in charge one day. We're not in charge today. We're the doormat today. We're the one group of people you can ridicule and joke and write cartoons about without getting your head chopped off. Nobody will ever raise a fuss about it. But it's amazing today how we got to tiptoe around the untruths and the heresies, but they mock Christ all the time and get by with it. But it's going to be a shoe on the other foot. Finishing up chapter 11 in a couple of minutes here. The nations are going to be angry. God's wrath has come. And He's going to destroy this crowd down here that's against Him. And then it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in His temple the ark of His tabernacle. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings. And on earth, and an earthquake and great hail. Now, these are all supernatural phenomenal stuff that's happening, but it opens the temple in heaven. Got to remember something very quickly. The big search today is, where is the ark, the lost ark? I really think they know where it is. But anyway, not to get off on that. This temple's open in heaven, and the ark of His testament. That's the real ark. That's the genuine one. Now, you got to remember in Exodus 25 and 26, right through there, Moses was told to build the ark and put it in the tabernacle. And he was told to do it after the pattern that God showed him. So when somebody opens the Bible and says, I found the ark. No, you found the genuine one, the copy on earth you did not find. When you get to heaven, you'll see the one that Moses was told to pattern after. And so what was built on earth was a pattern. And in God's providence, He has let it disappear. You remember the ark, don't you? You read by it, had the mercy seat on it. It was in the Holy of Holies where the priest went in on the Day of Atonement. Inside the ark, remember what they had? They had a pot of manna. That was the light bread that fell out in the wilderness. They had Aaron's rod that budded. Remember that? God showing life coming out of a dead stick. And that was in the ark. Let me see. It had the manna. It had Aaron's ark. And it had the commandments, stone tablets that Moses got on the mount. By the way, they were not the originals. He broke the originals. They're copies. God's also in the copying business. He can also copy it just as perfect as he gave it the first time. And that's what you and I have in the Word of God.